Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures, or excuse me, the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6, and we encourage you to give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files, and you will also find our TV program under the tab of special studies and the TV program. Please go out there and take a look at it, and also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Last week, we began an extensive study in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. But before we get to the books and the chapters themselves, we want to give you a little background and a biography of the author, the Apostle Peter. And so we began that process talking about the life and times of the Apostle Peter, and we'll continue that this morning. We begin this morning in Matthew, the 17th chapter, at the Mount of Transfiguration. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter learned that Jesus alone would have all authority in heaven and earth now. Moses and Elijah had served their purposes for the Creator of all things. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, we read that God's Son is his spokesperson. We also read in Matthew 28:18, by the words of Jesus himself, that he has all authority in heaven and earth. Moses, the Old Testament, Elijah, the prophets, were from the past. Jesus is the authority now. Lesson, yet in this Peter's faith grew. How many today have not learned this basic understanding, that all authority resides in Jesus Christ and in no other? Jesus spoke of his death and his resurrection, only to hear from Peter that such should not happen. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 21, Matthew 16, verse number 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are not an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. You see, Peter had become a stumbling stone to Jesus, not a rock of strength. His advice, save yourself. Sacrifice duty for self-interest and personal convenience. You see, he became so dependent on Jesus, he did not want to even think about him leaving, and so he didn't want to even enter his mind that he was going to have to leave and leave them alone. But this was God's plan from the very beginning, to send his Son to die on the cross that man might be redeemed. Peter would eventually get his mind around that truth. How often have we failed Jesus and become Satan to his cause here on earth? When we bicker, when we fight, when we envy, and carping among ourselves, we are not doing the things that are necessary in order to further the cause of Christ. Please read 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 4, the Church of Corinth had that problem. And also James mentions it in James 3, verse 14 through 16. Satan thinks all men are selfish at heart, unwilling to stand on principle. Yet he found out different when he tried to test Job. One man said, every person has his price. No, but we know he does. We need to become what Jesus can make us, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5. Surely, when Peter asks how often he should forgive his brother, he sees the need in himself for a greater reformation in his own life when he's told he must forgive him 70 times 7. But what seems of great magnitude to Peter was pittance to the Lord. What is the lesson here, ladies and gentlemen? Our transformation will not be thorough until we turn loose of the steering wheel. It is not a man who walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says that the Lord's word is a lamp unto my feet. Are you still a co-pilot with God, or are you trying to fly the ship yourself? Not only for you, but also with you. God can do abundantly and beyond anything we can imagine or ask. We just have to trust him. Read Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. You see, Jesus was trying to teach Peter that he had a plan, and he had a plan that he had to work, and he had a limited time to get it accomplished. Peter refused to let the Lord humble himself to wash his feet, but Jesus informed him that it was absolute necessity if he wished to remain with the Lord and to be part of the work that he was leaving him to do, he must allow Jesus to wash his feet. Let's read this account in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. But you are clean, but not all of you. You see, what was the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach Peter at this time? You see, the lesson is humility and servitude. Humility, the greatest thing, shall be least among you, suffering for his namesake and obedience. All these lessons are taught in Peter's epistles, and we will study them in future lessons. We need to understand that what the Lord was trying to teach Peter is if he was going to be successful, if he was going to be a worker in the Lord's kingdom, if he was going to be effective in carrying on the work that God was training and preparing him to do, he had to learn to have humility and a servant's heart. Much is true the same today. If we're going to be effective, if we're going to be the kind of disciple that's going to further the cause of Christ here on earth, we must have these two qualities. We must have humility, and we must have the heart of a servant. We must be willing to serve. And to serve, you have to submit to the will of another. And to do that, you have to have humility. Jesus was not teaching the lesson of washing the feet of the disciples, of foot washing. The lesson was one of humility and service. If they were going to be successful in carrying on the Lord's work, they must have this heart of humility and servitude. Next, we want to look at Peter's fall. The disciples never did grasp the need and the purpose of Jesus' coming and his death, burial, and resurrection before it happened. He tried to explain it to them on many occasions, Mark 8:31-33, Mark 9:30-32, and in Mark 10:32-34. Three times he told them, but they did not comprehend, nor did they understand. What's the lesson we can learn here? Well, prejudice, preconceived ideals. They were still in the physical realm. They were still looking at him as a material king and a material kingdom. That's where the mind of the Jews that rejected Jesus were. And sadly, that's where the mind of the disciples are. But he's trying to teach them and try to show them that his kingdom is not physical, but it is spiritual. But their prejudice was preventing them from learning the lesson. Never assume that you know the truth until you have consulted all the facts from God's word. Many today think that they know things about Jesus, his will, and his church, and then try to prove their misconception by the Bible. Instead of going to the Bible first and finding out what the truth is, finding out what the facts are about him, his will, and his church, they have it backwards. But the true disciple and true learner of God first goes to God's word and then learns what he needs to know and then gets about the business of learning it. Peter boasted when he was with the Lord that he would never, ever deny him. This takes place in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, he again is preparing them for the fact that he is leaving. In verse 33, he says, Peter answered and said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And so Peter boasted that he would die rather than deny the Lord. And I believe that he meant it. At that time, he was in the presence of Jesus. He was around the other disciples, and he was among his friends and his cohorts. So it was easy for him to make that boast. But Jesus told him that he would end up before the cock crowed three times, that he would deny him three times. Jesus knew his heart and his insufficient faith. He knows ours. We have to look in the mirror of our soul, as James 1, 23 through 25 encourages us to do. We need to endure temptation, trials, and suffering in order to come out tried and perfected. And we'll study this in 1 Peter chapter 1, the first few verses. Peter saw himself as he thought he was. Jesus saw him as he truly is, just like he does us. How many of us have been self-deceived? We should not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Inspect your fruit. That is the life that you're living. And trust its message more than your profession, your mouth. Remember, Peter's epistles are epistles full of warning about suffering, yet are truly epistles of hope. You see, we are going to have to suffer. Peter was going to learn that he would deny the Lord, but he would grow from that denial. He would grow into the man and the worker that God knew that he could be, and that's why he chose him. But he did have moments of weakness. He did have moments when he trusted in himself more than he trusted in God, and he had to be corrected. Jesus was preparing Peter for the fall and for his denial. We will continue looking at that denial, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, as we see Peter's fall when he did what he said he would never do. And may we learn the lesson that we don't know what we will do until we are faced with that situation. But hopefully, if we trust God, we will do the right thing. Thank you for listening again today. Please tune in next Lord's Day as we continue looking at the life.